I'm very happy now to welcome Domo Geshe Rinpoche. She's spiritual director of White Conch Dharma Center, and she will be in Santa Fe starting on Thursday, the 16th of October, for a series of events called Living a Good Life, Dying a Good Death. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
So, what do we mean by a good death?
Oh, you know that there are many fine people in this world who consider that being a good person and having a successful life, perhaps a sufficient amount of accumulation, and many good friends, that there is a kind of formula which should culminate in having a death that is satisfaction. So this ordinary, usual, I don't mean ordinary, but the usual successful life that would have the culmination of a peaceful and satisfying death. However, in Buddhism, particularly in Tibetan Buddhism and Tantric Buddhism, that there is something so extraordinarily special about the time of passing away, that we have entire yogas, internal processes and meditation, which will completely change the course of our future, meaning our future lives. And that's what we mean by dying a good death.
Every spiritual tradition has an idea of what happens after death. You mentioned reincarnation. All those traditions are different. Is there any way to know or understand what happens after death? Or is it all just simply based on belief, on this scripture, this belief, that belief?
You know, the people from cave people, Neanderthals and others, really had a valid view of what happened after death that was very different from what people believe now. And so their perceptions and their beliefs molded certain stories, I'm going to say, which definitely could have an effect on one's future. So far, okay?
How do you know what Neanderthals believed?
Well, I'm just saying by their pictures on their walls. But my point here is that as you go through history, that you see changes in beliefs, further sophistication, and to the modern day, where there is beginning now some acknowledgement that there is actually a consciousness that goes beyond death. For example, just in the past couple of days, I just skimmed an article, so I can't quote it, that scientists have been able to follow the effects of mind beyond the death process. So that means that we have become more sophisticated, that we have become more capable of having a relationship with our next way of being that perhaps earlier people didn't have or had in a different way. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
Well, it's, I mean, in a lifetime, let's say a person lives into his or her 80s, that person has lived 30,000 days or more. And in those 30,000 days, that person has a lot of chance to do good things or bad things, to accumulate karma or to dispel bad karma, or, you know, to use the terms of Buddhism. And then there's this one hour or minute where they're dying. Why is that so much more important, or why is it important at all compared to those 30,000 days when people were active and out in the world and doing things?
Very interesting question. Actually, the dying process can begin up to 6 months before that individual passes away. That it is actually, there's a kind of, you might even call it gestation, that is very similar to the birth process. So there's a gestation before birth where that person grows, and there is a gradual, if all goes well, that it's not sudden, but that it's a gradual process, and that person is returning to who or what they were before they were born with all of the changes as a kind of mathematical computation, all of the changes that have occurred in that lifetime, but not in very specific form, but a kind of accumulation of a final formula. So it makes them who they are at the end of their life.
But it's still, I mean, the question still stands. Most of what you do when you're not in the dying process.
As soon as we're born, some say, I don't actually say, but I'll give it to you anyway. Some say as soon as we're born, we begin to die. But I don't think that that's a good way to think about it. It is extremely important, the gathering of the experiences that cause the changes in that individual that makes them capable of higher functioning life. And that's what we believe is the goal of a post-death process. Ideally, we'd want to go to a higher functioning lifestyle, higher functioning life form.
I wanted to ask you a question about compassion, which is one of the basic words that you hear when you talk about Buddhism. And I was thinking about the reality that most of the history of life is the history of single-celled organisms floating around in the ocean. And they've been around far longer than we have, or far longer than any terrestrial animals. Okay, so then through a process of evolution, we got here. And in that process of evolution, weaker creatures were eaten by others, and the stronger creatures ran away, and that kept the organism or the species stronger when the weaker ones were eaten. And I think about, in this context, I think about compassion and whether it makes sense to have compassion for the slow antelope that's getting eaten by the lion, when that's just how nature works. But we humans have a completely different standard. We cultivate compassion for the most vulnerable among us. How do we understand this?
Oh, compassion, big, it's a big subject. And it is extremely varied. That my teachings are based upon the many different compassion practices and the many different forms of compassion, as well as explaining which ones are not, which ones are false compassion. So we could say that feeling pity, feeling superiority, feeling sorry for someone because we feel superior, and many other forms that we might call compassion are not the things that we want to cultivate. What we want to cultivate in a highest form is altruistic, universal altruistic compassion. In other words, it doesn't depend upon me getting anything. It doesn't depend upon someone who is close to me getting something. But we work for the benefit of all living beings as an ultimate goal. And so whatever strides we can make in developing that goal during our lifetime, that is what would I'd qualify as a successful life. Whether someone makes a lot of money, has a lot of possessions, or not.
One of the things that I've noticed that in a lot of religions, particularly Asian religions, there's a teaching of balance between good and evil, light and dark. You have that yin-yang symbol. And both things always exist, and there's always some kind of equilibrium between them. Then when I look at the Buddhist path, it's about, if I understand some things correctly, it's about leaving darkness behind, leaving evil, coming into ever more light and goodness. What happens to that balance? Can you actually get rid of the dark side? Does it go somewhere?
Absolutely. Absolutely, you can get rid of the dark side. In Buddhism, in Tibetan Buddhism particularly, there may be some other forms. There, we don't have this yin-yang. There is no flip side where you have to have the good outweighs the bad. It's not even reasonable, because if you think that if someone becomes very, very good, then they also have to be very, very bad in order to balance that, and it just doesn't make sense. That what we want to do is we want to completely obliterate the dysfunctions, completely obliterate whatever it is, this dark side that people talk about or the shadow, that there is no shadow. And the Buddhas have no shadow. The Bodhisattvas, the enlightened Bodhisattva heroes, have no shadow side. They are all good. And in fact, many of the deities are called all good as one of their alternative names. So no balance. There's no balance of good and evil. This is a different, completely different idea.
If I may ask, could you tell us a bit about your own story, how you came to Tibetan Buddhism?
You know, I am a reincarnate Lama of the Tibetan tradition. I am the ninth Domo Geshe. I am the mind presence of the eighth Domo Geshe. And so I am completely drawn into the lineage which has existed hundreds of years. I am drawn into Tibetan Buddhism as though I always was.
So was there a moment in your childhood or young adulthood where you realized that? I mean, you're American, right?
I am American, but I'm also Tibetan. I am here by transference of consciousness, something that's not so easy for people to understand, that I am the ninth Domo Geshe, but I'm also the eighth Domo Geshe, who passed away in 2001.
Domo Geshe Rinpoche will be here in Santa Fe later in the week, giving a series of teachings and events called Living a Good Life, Dying a Good Death. For more information, you can contact the White Conch Dharma Center. It is on the web at white-conch.org. You can also call 262-370-5974. Domo Geshe Rinpoche, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.